Hello.
Hi, Yana. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Good.
Just complaining about the weather the whole day.
Yeah,
We had everything. We had hail, we had snow, we had rain, and also sunshine. So, really interesting.
Hi.
Hi, Tina. Long time no see. Feels like we are seeing each other today.
All the time, right? Yeah. I
Not
just
bad.
not at all, no. I just needed to switch my light on because it's become getting dark, right? Getting not becoming getting dark.
I just complained about the weather, of course. Hello, everyone. I try to start on time today, just maybe two minutes after. I will give my administrivia trivia time over to everyone getting started, and then we have a full packed agenda. That's why.
It's quiet. It must mean that it's Monday and no one wants to really do any meetings.
I just wanted to say it's really quiet. Nope. I mean, we only have 16 people here, so what is up? Did I get a holiday? Didn't I get a holiday or something? But no.
Everyone's
No.
still frozen from Thursday.
Thursday, what it was cold.
Well, it's always cold in Ithaca in the winter. What do you
Yeah. Actually, well, I think that Thursday wasn't too bad. Thursday and Friday wasn't too bad. I think we only hit like negative two, negative three. Back in January is when we hit negative 10 to negative 12 degrees Fahrenheit. So yeah, that's when it was really bitter cold. Those are the days you hide in bed with the electric blanket and all the dogs piled on top of you and just don't get out.
That sounds so comfy. Oh, nice. I was just complaining about that we had all kinds of weathers today because we had hail and snow and rain and also sunshine. So, it's like in April, we say here. I don't know. But as I said, we have a full packed agenda, and I just want to start, even though we still have folks coming in. And at first, I just want to say to all the guests, hello. Hi, Martina. Thanks for coming. And yeah, today we have Martina here for the DataSync working group. So she will give us a little update and ask us some questions. And I'm looking forward to that because it's really important to have that right. And then Brooks will come in with to have some feedback for a UI feature in check in, check out. And we wanted to continue our discussion on the dashboard. And if we do not get to all of it, I hope we can continue even on Thursday with the dashboard, but let's see. And then, is there anybody who would like to take notes today? A volunteer would kindly take over the notes.
I think you're going to have to start doing the rotation again, Jana.
I think so too, but I hope that we have volunteers coming in still. Well, let's see. We will start again with the A's. So Cornelia, I have to pick on you, if that is all right with you.
Okay.
Okay.
We started at the end of the alphabet last time.
But that's true. Okay. And this time we will start again with the A's. Yeah. I'm sorry.
I think we took two people from the end of the alphabet and then it went all downhill. But good.
I will be more consequent this time and we will do the alphabet again. All right. Thank you so much, Cornelia. And let me know if I can help. All right. Yeah. Thank you. I will activate the transcript. Perfect. And now we can start. Martina, please take the stage. I think you're muted.
I am. Thank you. I will share my screen and start the slideshow. So, I'm here to ask you some questions related to data synchronization. I'm working together with Brooks, who's here as well, on the cross-app data sync working group. And before I have the questions, I would tell you something about the background of the group and how this all got started. And then, it is about the delay of data sync. So we had some data sync issues raised in App Interaction Sync really a long while ago. And I think we started with this maintain relationship between apps when holdings items are moved. So we really discussed that we need data syncing between the apps. So if one thing in one app is moved or changed or deleted, the other app that has like copies of data stored needs to be informed about that. And we started collecting use cases in that group. There are circulation or resource access and user management use cases as well. And this is a link that you can see to the Confluence page where we have this collection of use cases. We analyzed in App Interaction Sync the expected behavior. And then we asked the TC to get involved with a goal to find a solution or a pattern that would work for the majority of the use cases. So we wanted to find best practices, how these data syncing issues can be solved, that can be implemented not only in one app, but across apps, and ideally not use only one use case, but most of them. Exceptions are already always there. And the TC recommended to form a working group that then was formed. And you can see here the list of members. It's rather technical people on that group. And we meet every week on Mondays. I have a link here to the Confluence space of this group and a link to the Google Drive. There you can watch the recordings if you wish to. And I will link this presentation afterwards in the meeting minutes of this meeting. We have documents. The one document here is the use cases out of the Confluence page, we made an Excel sheet, so it's easier to work in. And I linked the proposal that is there to solve this data syncing issue by Raman, who's working on an EPAM team. And I will come back to that in a second. Our steps in the group were we specified for each use case the source of truth, because this is important for the solution that Raman has for the data syncing issues. And then we grouped the use cases into different categories that you can see here, like in some cases, copies of data need to be updated. In other cases, you need to notify the use of data in other apps. You need to notify on deletion, block on deletion, or notify on data update. And that may be same or similar to the category A, but we are working on that. And we are discussing at the moment the proposal by Raman that I have linked here as well. That is the possible solution. And if I would try to explain that, this is a publish and subscribe mechanism. You have an event publisher that's usually the source of truth. That's why it was needed to define the source of truth for each case. And this event publisher, this one app, that is the source of truth where you change or delete anything. This posts the changes to a notification channel. And then on the other side, there is an event consumer. And this consumer is responsible for reading the updates from the notification channel. And this consumer or subscriber does whatever is needed in this other app. So this may not be the same for two apps. There is one publisher and one subscriber, and then a notification channel in between.
Martina, may I just interrupt you for a second? Do you have the link to the slide so that we can maybe look at the links as well and so on? I think you're muted again.
Give me a sec. Yeah. And you will have it in a second.
Thank you. Great.
There you go. You should all have access. If that's not working, please let me know. We don't start at the beginning. No. The solution that we are discussing by Raman, there is one thing that we already know. It won't solve the use cases that we listed in the category block on deletion. So that would be interesting for me, at least, to know whether this may cause issues if we are not able to block deletions. What we are currently discussing are these two questions, performance and reliability. And the one question especially is where we need input from you and the other six. What is the acceptable delay for all data changes to be synced? And there we have these maybe a bit more concrete questions. What is a tolerable delay for data to be in sync that is still workable in your workflows in your institutions? Which use cases require instantaneous access to the updated data? And if the data needs to be updated instantaneously but is not, what are the impacts on your workflows? And it would be great if we could discuss these questions a bit today, if time allows, but we have as well the document where you can add in the relevant columns your feedback. So I will open one of the links where we list the use cases. This is a Google folder where we have different Excel sheets, and the one that would be relevant for you, but you can for sure have a look into the other ones as well, is this RAUM for resource access and user management. And there we have listed the use cases that have been provided by the community and that we have collected with the app interaction SIG. And there you can see in the second tab, this is loading a bit slowly.
Martina, is the courses related use cases, are they within the RA or are they separate?
I think I left them in the RA.
That's fine. I was just double checking.
Yeah, thank you. And otherwise, I will add them directly after this meeting if I did not. They are in. So yes, we have in the first column the use cases and features. Then we have the category that we think these belong to. There are some requirements listed in column D, or bugs or related features. Then the apps that are concerned by this, that are in some way interrelated with this use case, and this column F is the source of truth. And then column G and H would be something where it would be great if you could add your input and your feedback, the acceptable delay. And it would be great if you could give your institution name so that we know, because I think I can imagine this may be different, but this can be discussed in a sec as well. And then what is the impact in case of intolerable delays? So this would be the spreadsheet where we would collect the input. Questions or feedback? Or Brooks, do you have anything that you would like to add?
No, I don't have anything. Covered it pretty good.
All questions?
I would just say that I can imagine that there is, especially for circulation apps, there is not a huge amount of seconds tolerable for data synchronicity. I think we should really closely think about that, and everyone should really, yeah, maybe talk to their people in their institutions about that as well, and give feedback here, that because I think it's really important to stress that there are, I mean, we have always people waiting for us, but I think in circulation especially, we have the patrons waiting, and I think it should be minimal time, depending of course which part it is. Do others think, am I right, or do you think that's...
Oh, I think you're right, Jana. I'm also wondering, there are a couple of fine B things within this interaction synchronization. I'm wondering if there are any specific to the German use cases we were going through last week that kind of was up in the air when this list was created. So,
well, that is a good that's a good question. I will double check that.
Okay.
Thank you. Yeah.
And if you have more use cases than are listed here, please please add. That would be great, because yeah, it's not the latest, so it has been created quite a while ago. So, but what would I hear?
I was going to say, one thing to keep in mind here is that a lot of this in the RA area is related to data that's primarily used for search and filter in the UIs. So primarily at this point, requests is kind of the big one. So it's not directly impacting business logic stuff in the system. It's about someone makes a change, someone moves an item or holdings with items associated with it from one instance to another. And it changes the title or the identifiers that are associated with that item's instance record. And so that changes the ISBN numbers, and you can't, for however many seconds it is between you make that change and when it becomes effective in the request record, you couldn't search by ISBN and find that request necessarily if the ISBN numbers changed between instances there. The request itself could process and everything just fine. Like, it's not going to change the
performance of the system. Or?
Well, it's not going to impact the processing of the records for the business logic purposes of the circulation modules. It's just the UI search and filtering capabilities that are affected.
I was wondering though, with item deletion, is that being handled now that when you go to delete an item, is it looking for a circ transaction record and then that's blocked the delete, or does circulation update inventory somehow to say that an item is checked out and that's how it's blocked from deletion?
This is the case. This is that use case where we're not addressing with this.
Okay.
So the block from deletion thing is not covered by the solution that's being proposed here, and that we're asking for the feedback on the latency of that synchronization. Yeah.
So does that ties to the whole question about we've been dealing with for ages the whole idea of keeping one person from working on the thing while another person is working on it. Sorry, can't think of the phrase.
Record locking.
I'm sorry?
Record locking.
Right. But this is beyond, I mean, locking isn't fixed, but this is even beyond that because it's across apps, right?
Yeah, exactly.
If locking got resolved, would that That wouldn't fix this either.
No, it wouldn't, because I mean, sometimes if you, for instance, have something checked out and you're deleting an item in inventory, because in inventory you don't know that this is checked out, and maybe by accident you don't check in advance, so you would delete something, and that would concern the block for deletion, that will then be no longer there, although it's still checked out, for instance. Or if you move an item from one instance to another, then your records need to be updated accordingly in other apps as well. And I'm more the like acquisitions expert, but I can imagine this will need to happen in resource access as well as in acquisitions. Okay. So independent from the record locking, it's about keeping the data in sync across apps, because you have interrelations between the apps where you use like the data of the item, you store copies of data, or you, again, I can rather speak for acquisitions and ERM use cases, but where you delete something that still is necessary for another record in another app, or you update something.
I do remember the one example that Brooks brought up a while back, which was the request app, that if a title or something were to get changed, the request app would show the old data, not the new data, because it's not updating the data from inventory. So this is to address that. So if there's a title change or a barcode change or something of that nature, the requests that are in the request app, that data housed there would be updated from the inventory app.
Sorry, Thomas, I'm having a little trouble hearing you. So,
I'm sorry.
It's okay. You're a little fuzzy. That's all. So even in the cases where, am I understanding that where block on deletion does not work, at least notify on deletion would? Is that what I'm hearing?
That's at least what we're working on. Like, okay. It's not there, but that would happen through the proposal. And if we want to prevent from deleting any something, we would need to work on another solution, but that's separate from this one here.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the deleted items on loans issue is... Sorry, I'm trying to think. Make sure I'm not... for missing something here. A lot of that is a UI not handling the absence of that data problem. And I think there's some modcirc stuff that needs to be fixed as far as it, the way it behaves whenever you, whenever it can't find the item record that's referenced in the loan. But there's nothing inherent in that system that says a loan, an item has to exist for the loan record to be accessible and visible. So if that makes sense. I mean, you don't, I mean, it's not great, but it's also, it shouldn't break the system the way it does now.
But it would be- Voyager, oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, please go ahead.
As I say, Voyager used to do that with find records, is that if we deleted an item, it basically threw in a dummy record that said deleted for title, deleted for author, but the find information would still be there.
I mean, that's nevertheless, I think, something interesting that we might wanna have a look at. I just wanna mention that Marie said something in chat that every delay makes the user wonder if something is wrong. So you would expect most or every change to be instantaneously, even though it's not needed from a functionality perspective. And there is a question by Bob: what is the latency issue at its worst as designed now that led to this question being asked?
Infinite. It's infinite latency at the moment. Right now, these things are, well, not actually, that's not true. If the item is touched in some way by the circulation system in the circulation apps, it does update some of the relevant data. But like courses and stuff are just they're never updated unless you touch things again, unless you like remove and re-add things in inventory. I mean, it's in courses. That data is never updated as it stands right now.
I guess I didn't write it correctly. So like with this way that you're, the proposed solution that they're proposing, there's a latency issue with the design of that, of the new solution?
if I get the question right, it would not be instantaneous, at least I think, at least in for the majority of the cases. So there would be a delay, depending on the amount of data that is being changed in one.
Yeah, instance. It's going to be dependent upon the throughput of the publishing module, the process, the throughput of the messaging queue, and the throughput of the receiving module. So basically, it's the number of messages being published, the number of messages being consumed, and the resources available to the publishing and consuming modules.
So what are we talking? What are we talking about, like in a worst case, like seconds, minutes? A very wide
potential variation depending on how the system is configured.
And as I understood, it is our job now to say what is our maximum.
Yeah, we would like to approach this from the other side. So because the user is important in this, because you need to be able to use the system and you have your workflows.
And tell us what you expect, and then we'll take that back to the the devs and be like, okay, here's what they said. Is this possible with the solution we have? Can we?
Because in my current system, there isn't really a delay for that sort of thing. It just doesn't happen. It just happens. It's just a completely different system, I understand.
Yeah.
We don't have the app separation.
Exactly. That's the issue with Folio. Like, you have these separate apps and you don't want to create too much dependency. And that's why I think I'm not sure. I know that we are over time a bit for this discussion point. I'm not sure whether we should come back to this in the next resource access meeting, or do you feel comfortable answering the questions in the document?
I think I can do my demo and then take the feedback offline. So we don't need to, for that part of what I was going to do, we can take that time for this discussion if we want to, if we feel like we need to.
And I would like to see the dashboard discussion have its time as well. So I would say we could maybe put the dashboard discussion off maybe for next Thursday, if that is okay with everyone, so that we can give the full hour to the dashboard functionality and now discuss that further. Maybe we can find a solution, and so that everybody can make an informed discussion and decision here.
Thank you.
And we will continue this.
And what I heard so far is rather seconds or instantaneously than minutes, right?
Trying to think of where this would affect and how this would affect patrons, because if somebody in LTS is changing a record and we're checking it out, the system would be pulling the information that they just changed right into it. So it would be records that are already checked out to patrons. And I could see it would become confusing for patrons if the discovery layer and like my account layers are pulling old information. But I'm also trying to think of how often patrons are going to log into those user accounts. I'm also thinking of like requests for staff. I'm not sure, as much of me that wants to say it should be as fast as possible, I'm not sure if it really has to be, because I'm trying to think of how many times we go back and are actually looking at that old data, or how many updates or how many changes we're making. Sorry, just kind of my thoughts are kind of running through.
Would it make sense to look at the use cases, or at least at some use cases, to get a better understanding what we are dealing with and what are the processes that might be delayed?
It might help, yeah. I mean, course reserves makes a lot of sense that should be at a higher level, because a lot of, at least with our systems, because we're using Aries, a lot of this information is viewed by our patrons on a very regular basis. So if anything is updated on these records, which in my opinion, there's a high chance of information being updated because of typos or misprints, I could see this being a lot higher on the refresh rates.
And then could you say, would that then mean within seconds, or would you like say within 5 minutes, or?
Because it's looked at so often, the course is part of it, at least for, I would say preferably within seconds, maybe a maximum of a minute. I just say that because I know, again, we're not using this portfolio, but I know with our systems, when we don't have a regular update, it trips up our patrons and our staff at the desk on a fairly regular basis, because they're always looking at these interfaces. They're always looking at what's on reserve for what classes.
It's picked up by other systems. In our case, it's picked up by our courseware. So by the time the patrons get to it, it's actually delayed again.
Yeah.
Because we are using this.
Yeah, and ours is kind of the same thing. We have a indexing service that pulls information from Folio as well as Aries, mashes it up, and then spits it back out of the patrons. So, and I think that, I'm not sure what the delay is on it right now. That used to be on a 5 minute delay for updates, just because the amount of data that was going through.
And what would be,
No, I was just gonna say, in courses, for those who are using it, this is something that changes very regularly, especially at the sad part is the changes happen when it's most used, which is the beginning of the semester. And it's difficult not only for end users, for patrons, but for staff, because they are working at a very rapid pace and they need to know what state things are in order to move to their next step. So it's a pretty quick time frame on this one.
And courses is not terribly helpful in this case, because in some instances I'm using here in the things that occur phrasing, it presents data to the operator that is pulled directly from the original record in the Folio UI. But then when it is referenced by external systems through the courses APIs, it presents stale data or no data. Like there'll be data that's presented in the Folio UI to the operator that does not show up when the external systems talk to courses.
Yeah.
Which is a courses design problem in some ways. But I think part of that, again, is if this were fixed and we had a way to see changes that have, because that happens because the record in inventory was updated after it was added to the course. But the courses app, whenever it loads to show the operator information, it's goes out and pulls directly from inventory, but it never updates the record that it stored originally whenever the item was added to the course. And right. So things like, you know, things like online access URLs and things like that, if you add them to the item record after the fact, they'll show up in the courses app, but they will never show up in the discovery interface that talks to courses, because the data it pulls from the courses item, the course item record, is wrong or missing.
Yeah, but that's also impartially, it was to solve a problem, and we're going off down a rabbit hole that was done to solve a problem of limited access to the URL for licensed resources. But
I just was that's the kinds of things that get potentially updated here. So what's the tolerable delay there? When you realize you got the wrong URL in, you know, the item record in this case, because that's the only place it loads from right now, and you need to go back and change it. You know, how long from when you make that change to when that needs to show up in discovery?
And I'm with Thomas, seconds maximum of a minute, because you're probably not going to discover that until a patron complains that their link is broken.
How about others?
I had a very basic question about this to folks. Is there any indication to the staff user that there's a delay happening? I know in our institution, when we have, say, a instance record locked because one staff person has done an update and then there's that delay period, anybody else who tries to update that record or look at it gets a notification that says this bibliographic record is locked. And similar for courses, if someone, two people are trying to edit a record, a course record, the other person will be told, no, you can't do this because it's currently being updated. Is there any indication of that?
I think at the moment it's not. We've discussed that maybe users would expect at least or some information that it's now up to date or last syncing or something, but at the moment it's not.
Now that might just be helpful to address concerns, especially if it's going on in the minutes of just hold on, something's happening here. It isn't just an issue with the system. we're syncing data, so.
So for courses, what I've noted so far is max 1 minute. Does the group agree or are there other opinions?
Doesn't look like it.
I mean, the current resolutions to these issues are multiple minutes long to resolve. So because you have to basically go in and you have to go in and manipulate the system. You have to go in and like remove an item from a course and add it back. So, or remove remove faculty from the list of faculty and add them back to get these things to sync up correctly. It's a manual process to get them to sync back up.
I understood that correctly. This is how it is working right now, and it would be improved with the solution. Okay. Right. I just for time reasons, we have now. I think 15 minutes should be good, Brooks. Right.
Yeah, I don't, and I really don't think it's going to take that long. I can, I totally open to taking feedback offline too. So folks can message me and put me, I can start a thread in the RA Slack channel about it, and we can take feedback.
But I'd say we go to 50 minutes and then,
yeah.
So that makes it maybe 7 more minutes for us now. Maybe we could pick another use case.
Yeah, this next one would not be requests, courses related, but if you move a holding or an item in inventory, that has impacts on like all other apps. How much delay do you need there? Or Brooks, did you say before that this would only have an impact on the searching and not on anything else?
Sorry, I'm looking at the case again because I can never.
Yeah, like our use case was, for instance, if you have ordered a title and you have linked that to one instance in your inventory and you notice when you receive the item, the title, that it belongs to another instance, and then you move the already created holdings and or items to the other instance and would then expect, for instance, in orders that everything is updated so that orders is then linking to the correct instance.
This is an RM use case, isn't it?
But doesn't that have, for instance, if you have requests on that title, does that have any impacts as well?
Depends on, yeah, it's going to depend on the type of request and the fulfillment stage, like where things are. Like if the item's already checked in and gone into fulfillment before you realize the move needs to happen, it's not going to have much of an impact at this point, I don't think, the way with the way that title level requests is set up and item level requests are set up, because things happen at the item level. But if this would fill a title level request in the new system, then moving it to a different instance is going to matter. Like, which instance was the request placed on to begin with?
And with the pick applications, wouldn't that be messy then? No.
Shouldn't be.
And Bob, do you want to chime in with your question from the chat?
I just was wondering if that impacts, you know, ViewFind, RTAC, real-time availability check.
Yeah, I mean, if it's not, part of the thing there is if that initially was attached to a record that didn't have a MARC source record behind it, it's not going to show up in discovery right now, because it's not going to be part of the feed that's sent through IIPMH or FTP to the discovery. So you're not going to have a record to see RTAC on for that item. But when it's moved, if it gets moved to a record that does have a source MARC source record behind it, then it is going to show. It would just show up when next time that record was queried for RTAC, it would just show up there in the holdings and items that are available for that title. Because there it matters what does the system see as the associated instance record for that whenever it goes to pull RTAC information. So that should be instantaneous. Once the actual IDs are updated in the item and holdings records themselves, it'll just pick up. This doesn't come into play. That's like at the time that the RTAC say, hey, what's the real-time availability for this title? What's it look like right now? As long as that change has happened before that. In the actual records themselves, in the item and holdings records, then they'll show up in the RTAC response.
Good things I'm kind of thinking about is, as you said before, whereabouts in the request cycle it is. If it's a page request and that hasn't been printed yet, if it's switched to a new holdings record that has a different barcode call number, you would want that update pretty quickly. But I'm also wondering about cases where a copy was put on a completely wrong instance record. It gets a request on it and it gets moved to another instance record where the title is completely different from the original request that was placed.
Yeah, right now that's a manual, like, oh, what the heck's going on? That's not the item I requested. And I don't see, I right now I can't think of a way to resolve that at the moment.
Right.
Because it's already entered fulfillment. There's not a way. Things are in the chute already. It's already, you got to let them get to the bottom before you can do anything about it.
Exactly. But that, as I said, that falls back to what I was thinking originally. It's like, if it's something that's still sitting in a hopper that's waiting to be fulfilled, like that page request I was talking about, I would expect the data to hopefully be updated as quickly as possible.
It should be. That information to populate the page slips is pulled directly from the original records.
Oh, okay.
So it's not this copied data. It is pulled. And this is the same. If you look at the UI and requests right now, we have a bug related to this. Like, if you try to sort requests by call number or barcode, you'll get some weird results, because that information is pulled from the original records by mod circulation when it pulls the data to present in the UI, but you can't, the sorting happens based on the data that's in source record, that's in circulation storage, which may not have been updated since the request was created originally, but the change has been made to the item records. Those changes are reflected in what's displayed in the UI, but not what's sortable in the database.
Okay.
So when you when you sort those results, you'll get some weird behavior if that data has gotten out of sync potentially. This would help resolve that problem as well. Again, it's about the searching and filtering and sorting.
I mean, if it's just the staff interface, I would say, I mean, my personal inclination is to say it doesn't have to be updated as quickly as courses. If it, like, if it's preferable, I mean, everything is kind of like as fast as possible. But I would say 1 to 2 minutes is probably okay if you're just talking about the staff interfaces. If it impacts workflows, which from what you say it doesn't, or if it would impact a patron view, then I would say it's a lot faster. But if it's just like the sorting functionality, or there might be a change in a title or something on the staff interface, then my time slot moves up and gets larger.
And it does sound like that we would need some more time maybe to discuss these use cases. And it does sound like it is needed to be discussed. So I don't think it is, or do you feel like you could do it as a homework? What do you guys think? Maybe we could give it some more minutes in the next meeting and fill it out together.
Yeah, I mean, I can try going through and looking at some of our stuff and talk with people here.
That would be great. And do we want to? So everyone can do that too, and we can give that 10 or 15 minutes in on Thursday to kind of come together and discuss questions. How do you think? Can I see some thumbs or anything? Any reaction? Two, three. All right. So three thumbs up and a lazy consensus here. All right, then we, thank you so much, Martina, for
not only
coming and also Brooks and explaining everything to us, but also giving us more time than you expect to have needed. So thank you so much. And you can, of course, stay and listen to what Brooks has to say now. And but if you go, have a nice evening.
I'm just going to jump in and share my screen here real quick. Yes. Everybody seeing Folio here? This is the snapshot. Devin snapshot environment. A while back, I presented a couple features to kind of update, add the option to do kind of a lookup and disambiguation process for check-in and check-out and potentially requests. We didn't get to the request part. I'm going to address that here in a minute. But the first step of this would be is adding this. We added this setting here under other settings in the circulation settings. This is perform wildcard lookup of items by barcode in circulation apps. And we have check-in, check-out requests. I've got a story in to remove requests. It just wasn't something we were able to get to. It's off by default. I'm going to turn it on so I can show you what it looks like. Just real quick here, save this. Go to inventory for a second so I can pull a barcode. Handily enough, there are barcodes in here that already work. Let's go to check-in. I'm gonna paste this barcode in. It's gonna throw up a list of items that have barcodes that start with this string. It's got the barcode, the title, the call number, item status, location, material type, and the loan type. And then you can pick the one that applies to what you're trying to do. You know, in this case, I want to check in. This one that checked out, that's not the one I'm dealing with. I have it in hand. I wasn't returned. Got pulled for something else. Selected here. Everything just goes, it uses the barcode, actual barcode value from that record to actually do the circulation transaction here. And then the same deal here. same kind of thing. Barcode, title, call number, item status, location, material type, loan type, pick one. That's basically it. Any thoughts, feelings?
Sorry, can you do that one more time, Brooks?
Yeah, sure.
So, Brooks, are you asking whether it would be good to have that feature of having a setting that lets you truncate a barcode with a wildcard?
We had that conversation a while back.
Oh, okay.
This is the developers have implemented this. So
okay.
I mean, this is something that's going to land in Lotus.
Okay, so what are you asking then?
Any feedback on this? Like this modal that pops up, do we need different columns? Is there other information that would be useful here that we didn't include here, you think? Like I said, it's an optional interface. Only people who feel like they need it for whatever reason will have to use it. It's not going to affect performance. If it's not turned on, it won't have any impact on check in, check out performance. It's entirely this might be useful in certain circumstances, in certain environments.
Well, just off the top of my head, I would say the locate. Well, actually, you do have location there, so okay.
Yeah. Kind of the two biggest use cases here that I see are like multi-library environments where you've not done barcode. You don't have a standardized barcode system where you could have repeats. And that's a problem. That becomes a problem in Kiwi because they've added the unique constraint for barcodes on items. So this one of the solutions there, one of the remediations there during an upgrade is to just add like -1, -2, -3 to those barcodes. And this would be a way of dealing with that without having to go and physically update the barcodes on the items themselves. So you could turn this functionality on and then you would you'd be presented with this interface whenever you check one of those items in or try to check it out. Otherwise, if there's only one item that matches on that barcode, it just acts like it does now. It just goes ahead and processes it.
So do we want to see any other columns here? Is that enough for us?
Yeah. This is initial implementation. If people don't find it useful, we can take those enhancement requests in and probably maybe try to get them into Morning Glory or something like that down the road. This should meet the immediate need that we're going to have on the inReach side of this for what we need to do. Kind of why the Valeris team did this development was to support that need.
Do we want to have a date, an item status date in there, or is that not needed?
Like the date the item status was changed?
Yeah. Well, yeah, the date of the item status. So in transit, what would be the date that it went into transit, for example? Is that necessary, or is that just like, okay, it's nice to see, but it doesn't really serve any function?
Could that live in the same cell as the status? Or is that a different column then?
I think it's a different column.
Yeah, probably.
It would be nice to have it in the same cell, my thought.
Okay.
Is this list sortable? If there were a lot more?
I don't think so. No, it's based on the move item. modal from requests.
Yeah, I'm just thinking if you've got a multi-volume and there's lots of pieces of it, having this be sortable would be helpful.
Yeah, are you thinking those would have the same barcode or similar barcodes on them, like in like sub-numbered barcodes, or would they have their own kind of unique?
Well, they'd probably have their own unique, right?
Yeah, I guess, like I said, in a move, yeah, that makes sense to be sortable. So that's an enhancement for the move dialogue, the move request dialogue, for sure. Yeah, outside of some very rare, very strange circumstances, I would not expect to see a lot of duplicates here. Like this list should be relatively short, assuming you have a standardized barcode scheme. If you're just randomly throwing barcodes in the system, just making your own that as you put them in, and then I could see having some problems here. But if you're using a serially numbered barcode system, you shouldn't run into that problem.
And you wouldn't see, you wouldn't want to see a link here to the item details or something like that, because that is nothing you would do in real life, right? Just to spark a conversation here. I don't know. Would you want to go from here to the item details, or probably not?
I think that would be desirable, because in some instances, I mean, again, I don't quite understand that. So is this intended for staff use? So staff are checking to see what they can check out internally. So in other words, you're not checking it out to a user at the desk. You're doing it for some internal reason. I just can't imagine why we'd have a scenario where the user doesn't have the item in hand. If it's a patron at the desk, if it's someone doing an internal process, that makes sense to me. But
this would be a patron at the desk. But imagine you've got three libraries that are using three completely uncoordinated barcode systems,
right?
And they have three titles where one of the items on that title has the same barcode as one of the items on the other title at the other library and the other title at the other library. So you've got three items with the same barcode in the system. Folio went through, when you upgraded to Kiwi, a process was run that just attached like 1-1-2-3 to those barcodes.
Okay.
And you've got it. You've got the item in hand. The patron's wanting to check it out. You check it, you scan it in. This box pops up and you're presented with, this item is this title, not these other two titles. I pick that one and then go on about it.
Okay, that makes sense then.
The same thing would happen at check-in.
Yeah, there really isn't a need to bring up more information about the title at that point because you have the title. So it's not like you're checking out sight unseen. So, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, this makes a lot more sense when you have the item in hand.
Right.
Yeah, which is why, which is why we have it here.
Okay. Gotcha. Yeah.
No, it doesn't solve this problem for self-checkout, but that's... Yeah. It's already a problem.
All right. Is there anything? Yeah, it looks fine from Lawrence. Is there anything else? Do you want to add something? Everyone?
I said, if you think of anything else, let me know. But as it stands right now, this is what will be available in Lotus.
I think it is a really neat list. I think you can see everything you want to need, and everything else is a nice to have, I think.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you for sharing it to us, and yeah. All right, so we see each other on Thursday. I'll send out the agenda and inform everyone who wants to join the dashboard discussion then. I hope you're not too sad that we didn't come to it today, but I think the DataSync topic is really important as well. And thank you, Martina and Brooks, for bringing it to us, and see you all on Thursday. Have a nice weekend.
Thanks, folks.
Bye, everyone.
Thank you.
Thanks, bye.